Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are very well. I've been having, as always actually, some very interesting conversations this week with my clients. And there was one in particular which I've had this conversation with clients for many, many years, but there was some clarity to this conversation this time that I've not had before, and I wanted to share that with you. And the conversation was really about delegation, or empowerment was actually what we were talking about. And why it is that when you think that you've empowered, so you think that you've made it very clear to the people that you are distributing work to, that you are handing responsibility or ownership over to, when you've made it very clear, you think, in discussion, what it is that's being asked of them, what they're responsible for, what the deadlines are, and that you, as their manager in this case, are available to them as a support, as a guide, as a mentor, to answer questions. When you feel you've done all that, how come they don't actually do the thing by the deadline? And as the deadline starts to approach, you start to get more and more nervous, and then you get more and more hands-on, and you do the very thing that you hate doing, which is you start getting right in there and saying, okay, right now, this is what needs to be done, and everyone just move it. So the sort of command and control style comes back with a vengeance. Why does this happen? Well, the first thing to say is that I find these terms troublesome, and maybe you do as well. Terms like delegation, empowerment, we've been using them for years. There are all sorts of theories about how to empower, about how to delegate, and still clients are coming to me, certainly with problems around this because it's not working. So I think that there is definitely some trouble with the terminology, but we have the system that we have. And the system that we have in most organizations is that work is passed down a cascade and distributed. And then it is passed up, back up the sort of cascade, a reverse cascade, for checking or for permission, or because decisions can't be taken at a lower level and they need to be elevated. This is the system that we have. And we may say, well, this is not the ideal system. There are other scenarios where ownership sits with whoever is the right person to own that decision. There's no passing up and down. It's no one's job to distribute the work. You know what your job is. You know what you're responsible for. You know the interconnections between what you do and what other people do. And you take the initiative to make stuff happen, and you know when it needs to happen, and you drive all of that because you have complete ownership of a particular role. So there are other scenarios, and I've talked about them in particular in my interview with Charlie Efford, the sort of teal approach to organizational structure. However, we are where we are. Most of us, most of my clients for sure, work in hierarchically organized organizations, and this is the relationship. The work gets passed up and down and distributed, and this is a very common frustration. You delegate with a real intention to delegate, and then it doesn't get done, or you have to push towards the end. There's a panic, you're getting pressure from above to show that it's being done, and that's putting pressure on you, and then you pass that pressure down to whoever it is that you've distributed the work to. And the first observation I want to make about all of this is that we make a lot of assumptions at the start of this whole process. So at the start of the delegating, in inverted commas, we discuss it and with the person we're delegating to. And we feel that we are very clear about what we expect that they will do. And maybe we even get into more detailed steps so they know how to get the thing done. And we think we've made it very clear what our role is going to be. and then we step back. And the assumption is that that is what's required. That if someone is in the right job and they have the capability and they have a plan that either you've put together or that you've coached them to put together, or you've told them that they're going to put the plan together, is that okay? And they say yes. If all of that is in place, the assumption is that they will just get on with it. Really, most people are fully capable of getting a thing done that sits at their level. I mean, unless you are surrounded by people who really shouldn't have the jobs that they have, and in most of my conversations with my clients, they've got great people by and large, so they've got the right people in their job. They should be fully capable of doing the thing that you've asked them to do, certainly planning it out and taking the steps. Now, obviously, someone who's been in your organisation for a year or been in the workplace for a year wouldn't necessarily be able to design the strategy for the whole business. But in terms of their job, after a few months in the job, they can probably work out what needs to be done and in what order. So that raises the question, why don't they? The assumption that if they know what to do, they'll do it doesn't really work, because they do know what to do, but they don't do it. The easy assumption is that it must be because they don't know how, and if they knew how, they would. But we kind of know that that assumption is flawed, don't we? We know that they know how to do it, so why don't they? I believe that the reason people don't do the things they know should be done or take the steps are more interesting and rather more complex. So firstly, they may not believe you. You keep stepping in to help. You have created learned helplessness in your organisation, or even more deeply entrenched, the people around you that you're distributing the work to don't actually know what your job is if your job isn't to come down on them hard at the end of the project to make sure it gets done. They have come to believe that you are there specifically to pick them up at the end, and if you don't, you're not doing your job. So deeply baked into the psyche is this idea that you don't really mean it when you say that you're delegating or when you tell people they're empowered. But secondly, we can go much more fundamental than this. In a working world, where people have very little control over their impact, what they can control in their working lives, they have a need to control, we want to have a say over our lives, we want to have influence over how we live and how we work, but we don't see that we can have much influence in our jobs in terms of real impact. We can't necessarily see the connection there. So we make an impact where we think we can control, and this will be stuff like career progression, getting recognition from the boss, getting a bonus, what time you go home, how hard you work when you're there. When you make it difficult for people to find any deeper sense of meaning and purpose in their lives beyond their own career progression and kind of hygiene factors around how they work, they will simply seek to control what they can control, which is those hygiene factors. This is the currency that they know about. This is the currency they've been dealing with. So they may not talk in these terms, but I've seen it so often where people believe that the reason they work is to progress in their careers. And this is something I talked about in last week's podcast for sure. And so if something is delegated to them, or if they are given a responsibility which doesn't seem to be attached to the currency they're familiar with, so they're invited to be part of a think tank because you want them to develop their leadership skill, but actually they see all these extra meetings popping into their diary and they don't quite see how it's going to help them, and it certainly isn't going to get them a promotion and it isn't getting them a pay rise and no one is paying them more for doing all of this extra work. They're simply going to see this opportunity that you've handed to them as a burden. They cannot see how they get a payback in terms of the currency that they're familiar with dealing in. So let's just get clear on that. When you delegate something that just seems like more work, extra responsibility, and they cannot see what they're getting in terms of the currency they know about, bonus, pay rise, promotion, they're not going to be that motivated. They see it as an imposition. You're simply dumping your shit on them. And thirdly, they start to believe that as you rise up the organisation, one of the biggest benefits that you get is you get people that you can dump your shit on. So of course, they want to get a promotion because they want to have the job that you have, which they perceive as having this wonderful life where everything that comes to you, you simply distribute out to people like them. And often when you ask people why they really want to have a leadership position, why they really want that, having told you that's their ambition, it's sometimes hard for them to articulate it because they don't really know what it's like in a role like yours. They perceive it as some having other people to dump shit on. You know that that's not true. You're sitting there in your role knowing that that's not true, but that's how it's perceived. If your motivation to have a senior role is because you want all the kudos, the status, the badges, the opportunity to dump shit on other people, then you will obviously be disappointed when you get that role. The only reason actually to go for a more senior job is because you find meaning and purpose in it. The rewards of bonus and pay rise and promotion and title and kudos aren't actually compensation enough for the price that you're going to pay for that, for doing that job, unless there is also a deeper sense of purpose in it for you. So this delegation or empowerment issue isn't really about how you frame the project at the beginning. It's much, much deeper than that. As a leader, helping other people to see that there's a currency beyond bonus and pay rise and promotion, in other words, meaning and purpose, and having them think about how they can derive more meaning and purpose from their work has got to be part of what leadership is about, right? Then, when they are given the chance to do something that aligns with their purpose or that has meaning for them, they can see the connection and off they go. Probably the stuff that you're giving them doesn't have that meaning for them, or they can't make the connection between what you're giving them and the meaning they seek, or they don't even know that there is a currency called meaning. Up until now, they've never had to deal in that currency. They didn't even know it was an option. As a manager, your job may well be to dole out the work, to help people to set deadlines, and to hope they are machine enough like to take steps according to the plan you've agreed. But as a leader, your job is, having found your own meaning behind your motivations, helping others to find theirs so that they grasp opportunities to get paid in meaning rather than only grasping opportunities that give them the shallow rewards of a pay rise or a bonus. Now, of course, I'm not saying that people don't deserve the money. I'm not saying that there's anything shameful in wanting to be very generously rewarded financially for the contribution that you make. But when that is the only currency available, you end up with shallow loyalty, shallow motivation, shallow organizational values, and very shallow concepts around delegation and true empowerment. So I hope you found that useful today, thought-provoking. I would love to know what difference this makes to you, seeing delegation and empowerment in these different terms, not thinking of it in terms of, well, maybe there's something flawed in the plan, maybe I need to be clearer upfront about my expectations. I really don't think it's about that. I think that your people are very intelligent and perfectly capable of being able to make a plan and see it through, but there's something missing at a deeper level, and as a leader, it's your job to help them to find out what that missing element is. I'll be back next week, of course. Please, if you haven't done already, there's a couple of things I'd love you to do. The first is, I would love you to go to iTunes, if you're listening to this via iTunes, and leave a review, and in particular, a comment. Comments help to push the podcast much more up to the sort of first page of people's search. So when they search something like Leadership Podcasts, they'll actually find Punks in Suits. And that means we can get the message out there to more people. So please go straight away now to iTunes and leave a comment and review. And the other thing I'd love you to do is to go to the That People Thing website and subscribe to the newsletter. When you do that, you'll get a free 5-part newsletter series, Busting the Myths of Leadership. And it's a lovely thing to be able to share with your colleagues and to get them hooked into some of these ideas, which should help you to lead in a more impactful and more meaningful way as well. So please go ahead and do those two things. As ever, you can stay in touch with me via social media and email, or you can even pick up the phone. I love that. And with a reminder of all of that, here is the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you, especially if today's podcast has inspired you. You can also stay in touch with us on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Leeds Palmer, or by email, blair@thatpeoplething.com. And don't forget to rate or review this podcast on iTunes. It will help other people to find us and share these ideas. We would really, 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 really appreciate you doing that. Now, please, I'm begging you on my hands and knees. I'm really begging you. Please. Bye.